Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Campus Book Mart is the one and only stop for the real Southern Miss fan. From hats to sweaters and even jerseys, Campus Book Mart has you covered with all the essentials for the Southern Miss football season. With sizes from toddler to large and in charge, there is no reason to shop anywhere else. Call 601-261-9690 or visit campusbookmart.net. Campus Book Mart on Hardy Street across from USM in Hattiesburg.
I'll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Let's go. Friday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Welcome back. We're glad you tune in every afternoon at 1 o'clock. We really do appreciate it. Bob Kelly Dima, we're all in the Southern Bancorp studio here in beautiful Oak Grove, Mississippi. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great place for dinner tonight. Great place to cater your next event. The holidays just around the corner. Dickey's will do a good job. Kelly, I want to, and I know you join me. I want to thank Carolyn, and I want to thank Lori down at the Development Partnership in Marion County. They just treated us well. You know, they treated us like what it. We've become very good friends with them, and it was a joy to spend an afternoon with them.
Dima, you missed some good vittles yesterday. Yeah. Man, that was good eating yesterday.
I really did. I should have been down there. I really should have. But I did hear there wasn't any left. So
it was so good that what was left, Kelly took home with
him. Oh, I got you.
But I want you to know that I was going to give it away.
Were you?
To people who were hungry. But right. I was hungry later
you
on.
Were, you the were. Yes. Dima, you still got a smile on your face. Is there a reason you've been smiling for the last 3 days, Dima Mixon?
Oh, you know, just the fact that Southern Miss football is back in action tomorrow.
That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Good deal.
It's going to be good. We get to go to the Rock and hopefully, 50 people will show up.
And eat some hot dogs.
That's right.
And some cats.
No, I don't.
I hope not. Let's not do that.
All right. Well, basketball ran into a problem last night, guys. Kelly, you texted us. It was you that said.
Yeah.
You said 24-0.
Yeah.
I mean, how did that happen?
Well, they had like 9 turnovers in the first 6 minutes of the game. 9. And by the time the game was over, the Blazers had put up 41 points just off turnovers. I mean, you can't. Now, shooting the ball, the Eagles were great. I mean, they shot just a tick north of 50%. All right, so that's a great number. And to put it with the 48% that they shot in the opener against Bowling Green, they're shooting the ball well. But I don't care who you are. You turn the ball over that much, particularly early in the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, the lid was on ifs and buts were candy and nuts. You've heard that story. But you take away about the first 7 minutes of that ball game, the Eagles, outscored UAB, but a disastrous start that they just could not overcome.
What do we make of it, Dima, or is it just one game?
Yeah, I mean, it's one game. You didn't have Curbelo either, and that was – I think we were able to confirm that it was a stomach bug was the reason he was not playing last night at UAB. But you look at the stats, they actually overcame that start last night.
Yeah.
And they, I think it was, 30-4, something like that. I mean, it was bad. And they were able to crawl back into the game. They were only down 16 at halftime. They actually won the second half. You lost by 14 on the road without one of your best players. You know, that's a pretty good response from a team. And you want to kind of take some of those responses. Going forward, you don't want to just blow everyone out in basketball. You're going to have some of those setbacks. And like we've said with basketball, as long as everybody can just be healthy in 9 months when they play the conference tournament, maybe they'll be fine. But I know that losing some of these games, it hurts your at-large bids to the NCAA tournament. But, I mean,
that's
getting
not
it,
gonna happen
yeah, it's
anyway.
Just not going to happen. At-large bids are just not happening anymore for group of five programs like the Golden Eagles are.
But some of the new names, that you're going to be getting more used to, DeAnthony Gordon and J-E-T-T Montgomery. Jeff Armstrong got in the game last night. So some guys that you'll be, expecting to hear a lot about later on. You know, got some good playing time last night, but with Curbelo out of the lineup, of course, Nefta Alvarez had to kind of run the ship in the, you know, in the backcourt. And Denaje Harris just continues his consistent play, 16 points, 10 rebounds. You know, and the other thing is UAB in the paint, 58 points in the paint. I mean, that's pretty tough.
The difference in the game, though, was the points off the turnovers. You had 41 points for UAB, 41 points to 10 for Southern Miss. So that's the story of the game.
And that's more. That's more than made up the difference. So, I mean, there were some really good things, but a disastrous start that you just – I don't care what sport you're playing. You can't get off to a start like that and overcome it.
What's next for the men's team, Damon?
They're at home next Thursday, I believe. Next
Xavier?
Or Tuesday night. Tuesday night, next Tuesday night against Loyola, New Orleans.
Yeah.
They'll be welcoming in Loyola at a 7 p.m. tip-off, and then they'll hit the road again and head to South Dakota the following week to play South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits.
Yeah. Is Loyola a D1 school?
They're an NAIA school, I think. I think down in New Orleans. In fact, Coach Ladner's son, you know, played.
That's the same squad.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they come up here, you know, every year. Yeah. When you look at that Southern Miss schedule, Demon, there really are not a lot of home games.
No, you know? I mean, after next week, they're not back home until, I mean, the end of the month. So then on Tuesday, no, they played November 12th. They're not back home until they play Milwaukee November 30th. So. I mean, they're hitting the road. They're going to Albanine Christian. They're going to Montana State. They're going to South Dakota State. They're kind of going all over the country.
And that 30th, the game on the 30th, the students will be out for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So you got a good taste of Reed Green Coliseum and the Reed Green crowd when the students are there, like they were for Bowling Green. It was electric at different times. But when you get the cavernous Coliseum, when the students are gone, it's just a completely different place.
Well, they bring so much spirit to everything, too.
Sure,
that's
so
for sure.
And I wish there was some way that the schedule could be made to where a bulk of the student body is there. Because, like, once you start, they start conference play right before Christmas. Well, the students are on break, all right? And it continues all the way through Martin Luther King Day, which is in the middle of January. So the games at Reed Green, the students miss half the schedule. Because,
unfortunate.
Yeah, just because of the academic
schedule.
All right,
just one basketball game, talking about games. There's another one tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Dema Mixon, what do you expect to see?
Football.
Yeah, football.
Yeah, I thought you meant basketball. I don't really know. That's kind of the crazy thing about this team now is you don't really know what to expect. We know what Marshall, you know, what they're trying to do. They're still in the hunt for the East. I think they're not totally out of it yet, so they have a lot to play for. Southern Miss is just playing really for pride at this point. You know, they're out of a bowl game. Their head coach got fired. They're looking for a new head coach. They're talking about transfer portals. There's so many off-the-field things happening with Southern Miss right now. Not to mention on top of it, I don't think we expect a huge crowd at the game on Saturday. So, you know, you would hope to see something good from them. But I just don't know. All of that outside noise is just so much for them to overcome to just, like, cancel all that out and go play a football game. Like, talent-wise, I think they match up pretty equally to Marshall, but that hasn't been the case to any team this year.
And I'll tell you what Charles Huff is worried to death about, the head coach at Marshall. As Dema said, they're still in the hunt for the Eastern Division title, which would automatically catapult them into the championship game if they're able to win the East. By all rights, Marshall should come in here and steamroll Southern Miss. But they are 18 to 24-year-old kids. And just when you think things should go pretty well, human nature is to play down or up to your competition.
Yeah.
Right? And I know that Charles Huff is one you cannot sleepwalk through.
No. And it's a long flight. You know, that's a long way from Huntington, West Virginia. And it's a long trip. You know, Marshall knows what this team is right now for Southern Miss, and sometimes it's hard to get up for those games, and maybe Southern Miss can catch them sleeping. But I would say, you know, if I'm putting money on it, and we're going to pick it later in the show, but you know, if we're putting money on it, I really don't know what to say, what I expect to see from Southern Miss, because every week seems different. You just don't know what to expect week to week with that football team. So
yeah, one week the D-line plays pretty well.
Right.
The next week they're porous.
And they better be good, because Marshall has a dang good running back. We heard him talk about it on Wednesday. 9.5 yards per carry. Per carry.
Right. Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
And then on days that the offensive line does a good job of protecting Ethan Crawford, then the next week, you know, he gets sacked six times. So inconsistency has been something that has plagued this team, I think, going back from day one of the Will Hall era. They just, and Will Hall would say that in some of the interviews, man, we played two really good quarters, the other two stunk, you know, and in different instances. So consistency has plagued them from the get-go. And I don't know what the magic bullet is. I mean, I've coached baseball for a long time too, where your teams at times will play in. I don't know that there's anything you can do on the surface to coach consistency.
Right.
You know, that's one of those things that's kind of the unicorn that just floats out there. I think if everybody knew how to coach consistency, everybody would.
All right, when we come back, I'm going to talk to Patrick McGee, find out. We hear there could be a former Southern Miss coach in the running to be the head coach at New Orleans. That would be pretty exciting. And, Kelly, as we enter the break, let me just tell you, your Bengals got hosed again last night by the officials on the two-point play that could have won the football game.
Not one penalty that wasn't called, two penalties that weren't called.
Obvious penalty.
And look, you know how I feel about the Bengals, listeners, but if you don't believe me, it was the announcers on the broadcast, no Al question. Michaels among them, said no those question. Were calls that should have been made.
No question.
I think that's a new rule in the NFL is the Bengals do not get the breaks on any calls.
I got him all ramped
up. It is
up,
ridiculous. You know how, again, right, if it was the Kansas City Chiefs,
mute his mic.
There would have been five flags
we'll
if it was
be right
the Kansas
back.
City Chiefs. Do you think that they're going to let my...
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
The last 23 times the Chiefs have played, they have had less penalties than their opponents. Now, what are the odds of that happening?
Okay, it's
23
been
times.
All break, hasn't it?
Yeah, and the Bengals have lost two games this year by a combined total.
Mute his mic.
Of 3 points. And in both times, it was the officials that messed up.
My apologies, people. Patrick McGee joins us now. Patrick, I made the mistake before we went to the break of telling NFL Kelly that I thought the Bengals got tattooed by the officials last night. And, oh, my God, did I ever open a can of worms. Have you calmed down any?
I'm calm.
Can I give you a Xanax?
I'm already on one. And I threw a Lexapro in there with it.
Right, Patrick McGee, sports editor of the Times-Picayune, joins us. And, Patrick, is there anything you can say to make him feel any better about the Cincinnati Bengals?
No, I don't have anything to offer up. Bengals are the farthest thing from my mind, Dave.
Apparently, the NFL officials, too, it's the farthest thing from their mind, too, Patrick.
So, Patrick, go ahead and break the news that Todd Monken will be the next head football coach of the New Orleans Saints.
Well, I don't have anything to give you. I'm sure he's probably on a list of guys they're considering. But, yeah, it's still way, way early. They have, you know, the good part of getting this decision made is that they give themselves plenty of time to kind of work their way through the candidates.
Well, they're clearly on a purging scale right now. I mean, getting rid of talent, Lattimore, you know, traded away. So is that the way you read it now, Patrick? Wholesale changes to try to maybe get some draft capital?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a, you know, Lattimore made sense. He was some, you know, to move him and get some draft picks, yeah, it does help out. So we'll definitely see some big changes going into the offseason.
One of the names that I kept hearing that the Saints were shopping was Chase Young, that teams that were looking for pass rushing help were maybe calling about Chase Young, but he stayed put, as it turned out.
Yeah, Granderson and Young, a pair of defensive ends, they kind of got some chatter as potential trade bait, but No, I mean, neither one of them are having really great. I think everybody kind of expected Young to kind of break out this year, but he hadn't really got to the quarterback that much. I mean, he's been okay out there, but not the game changer that they were hoping him to be. And Granderson seems fairly settled in New Orleans. I mean, they could have moved him as well, but you know, just probably didn't get the number of trade number of draft picks in the exchange that they were hoping for.
That was the same story with Chase Young in Washington. He just never. You know, he was like the number one pick, a surefire All-Pro, and it just really didn't work out. No, just really.
Yeah,
didn't
I mean, work he's out. He. I mean, he definitely looks the part. He's a great athlete, but you know that doesn't always add up to really a top-notch NFL player.
Okay,
you know,
I was kind of. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Patrick. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. I'm good. Go ahead.
I was kind of kidding with you actually about Todd Monken, but we did actually hear that Monken and the OC for the Detroit Lions was a name being thrown around down in the Big Easy. Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, sure. Well, Ben Johnson's going to be attached pretty much every job opening. The Lions offensive coordinator, that comes as no surprise. So, yeah, I mean, Munkin's name has come up. Matt Paris did a little run down the potential candidates earlier this week. It's up at NOLA.com if you want to check it out. Todd Monken was on that list. He's going to be a candidate for jobs in the off season, and I don't, you know, we'll see if he gets a job. I'm sure he'll be a serious candidate for multiple positions.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is the rule, Patrick? Kelly and I were talking about that the other day. What is the rule about talking to coaches in the middle of a football season?
I honestly, I don't know if there is any rule. It's kind of up to both sides to come to an agreement on whether it's worth doing or if they can make it happen, you know, if they can accommodate. So, I'm not aware of any rule per se. I mean, they can easily line up an interview in a downtime or something like that. But I don't have that bit of info.
Is there any chatter about any college football coaches potentially going to squeeze into that New Orleans job?
No, not. I mean, none that I'm aware of. I think that's kind of. You know, you see some coaches kind of coming in from the college game, and it hasn't really worked out.
Yeah.
You know, you're taking a bit of a gamble. So I would be surprised if there's a college coach really in the running in the end.
Patrick, was the ultimate backbreaker losing to Carolina? Had the Saints beaten
Panthers? Yeah.
Had the Saints beaten the Panthers, would Dennis Allen still be the coach?
Yeah, probably. I mean, the Saints played it up as if, you know, they've been having conversations, or Gail Benson had conversations with players and decided it was time. Now, I'm not saying that's not true. It's probably true, but I don't. If they had won in Carolina, I think Allen's probably at least head coach for another week.
And I've always read that she's a very conservative, pragmatic lady. Were you surprised? Yeah. Were you surprised that he was fired?
No, not after losing to Carolina. I like you said, I think conservative is a good way to put it in terms of not wanting to kind of rock the boat. But, you know, they would have preferred to make this move, I think, after the season. But, you know, seven straight losses, losing to Carolina, who was, you know, previously perceived as the worst team in the NFL. Now it's kind of hard not to say the Saints aren't the worst team. I wasn't surprised that she stepped in and decided it was the right call after the Carolina game.
Patrick, there's kind of been an off-the-field controversy brewing between former receiver Mike Thomas and some of the social media comments that he has made about Derek Carr. I mean, downright mm-hmm. name calling and saying that Carr is subjecting to some pretty good receivers to, you know, injuries by throwing across the middle. What has been the feedback from Saints Nation and the overall feedback on that tit for tat between Thomas, that which really hasn't been responded to by Carr? I don't blame him necessarily, but just the reaction.
Yeah, I mean, the way I'll put it is, like, Twitter's not real life. But, I mean, it's the people's reaction on there. Obviously, people love to kind of pile on Derek Carr on social media. But anybody that's kind of, you know, knowledgeable of the subject and understand, it's Thomas's. He's just built a reputation as somebody that's, you know, pretty volatile. And it's not really, you know, nobody's really surprised whenever he does that these days. And what's funny about this is Thomas was in the group that recruited Carr in New Orleans. So now he's just taking every opportunity to trash him. And he is definitely on the outs with the Saints organization. I'm sure Thomas is really frustrated right now that he can't get another job in the NFL. But, you know, his kind of these outbursts don't help him.
Well, and that's
if he wants to get back in the league.
And that's something that really interests me because, in my opinion, and I'll run this by you guys, I think the Saints have been more than fair with Mike Thomas, considering as much time as he's been injured over the past two or three years.
Right.
They gave him an additional year on a contract when a lot of people said probably shouldn't. You know, he's just damaged goods. I think the Saints have been fair with him. What say you?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's Thomas is always, you know, everything was great whenever they're winning 12, 13 games a season, but whenever things go south, apparently some of his worst attributes kind of come out.
Patrick, with a change of head coaches coming, what does that mean for the future of Derek Carr in New Orleans?
You know, it's hard to see him as the starter next year, whether he's on the roster or not. I mean, he could be kind of that bridge guy. You know, maybe they draft a quarterback and, you know, he's around for one more year, you know, something like that. So, but no, I mean, Derek Carr has to know his days are numbered in New Orleans. He's not going to be there for the long run. So that's probably the best way to put that.
Does this, you know, the rest of the season, I know that Alvin Kamara came out yesterday and said that, you know, the interim head coach, if you fall on the ground, you know, he's all over you, and it's a very different series of practices. The rest of the season, are they going to play it out with the same intensity, or maybe do they start positioning themselves? I mean, I know they're not going to intentionally lose, but position themselves for a future draft pick that might be a quarterback who can lead this program.
Colin Saunders, the Saints defensive tackle, joked that, you know, maybe he needs to take over at quarterback just so they could angle towards the draft. I don't have any insight on really. I think Darren Rizzi, the interim head coach, is a competitive guy and a pretty good football coach. You know, personality wise, he was the guy that kind of stood out here over the last 3 years under Dennis Allen. He was just, you could tell he was a personality. I think the players like him. So I think he serves well as the interim coach. I think they'll be competitive off and on. As long as they get healthier, they can hang with a lot of these teams. You know, they just have not been healthy at all. So I don't see them angling for the draft. I expect they're going to try to put a good product on the field best they can. At least Rizzi will. But no, I mean it's definitely it's hard to see Rizzi as a serious candidate for next year. Even though he's probably a guy that, you know, he interviewed for the Saints job, had a big role in Miami. He's a guy who's capable of doing that job. He's just one of those guys that's just unfortunately stuck in an interim role.
All right, 20 seconds left, Patrick. You take over as the sports editor of the Times-Picayune, and then the biggest sports bombshell that could drop in New Orleans dropped. How did that change your life, Patrick McGee?
Oh, I mean, there's a lot that's changed in my life about this job, not necessarily the coach getting fired. There's a lot going on from LSU to New Orleans to Lafayette to Shreveport. So there's a lot on my plate, and it's just one more week and one more news break.
Yeah, and LSU's going to have its hands full this week, and that's one of the games we're going to pick later on.
Well, they got the right man in the job down at the Picayune. We appreciate you, Patrick, and I look forward to having you back next week.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, Patrick McGee, sports editor of the Times-Picayune. Picks are coming up. Tommy Lofton, director of the Mississippi Military Museum, is our guest picker. He's actually in the studio with us, and he'll be joining us next.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. I want to thank Campus Bookmart for sponsoring the segment with Patrick McGee from the Times-Picayune. Interesting stuff about the Saints. God, I'd love to see Todd Monken get that job.
I would too, but Bob, if you had your choice between that and maybe some other job, I don't know. I just don't know how attractive the Saints job would be in comparison.
I think it's pretty attractive.
I think being the head coach of the Saints is pretty prestigious.
I mean, it's a pretty – I don't know, they've only won the Super Bowl once, but that's more times than the, you know, Detroit Tigers have won the World Series. So.
Or the Cincinnati Bengals or the have Bengals. Won the Super Bowl.
Well, how are the Bengals supposed to win the Super Bowl?
All right,
Bowl?
Mute his mic.
There's a conspiracy by the NFL and the referees.
There we go.
Mute his mic.
All right, we got a – out of the Super Bowl. We got a great friend in the studio with us. Tommy Laughlin is the director of the Mississippi Military Museum at Camp Shelby. And
let's just drop it.
Tommy has just become friends with all of us at Super Talk through the years, and we really do appreciate it. And, Tommy, we're going to be down there at the Eagle Hour along with Gerard. It's an annual deal we do with you guys every year. This year we're actually doing it on Veterans Day. The museum is open on Veterans Day. And, Tommy, for people that have never been to the military museum, I tell you this, it's one of the finest museums in the Southeast. There's no question about that. Talk a little bit about the museum.
Sure, yeah. You know, one of the best things about it is we're actually free. It's hard to beat a free museum. And we're open usually Tuesday through Saturday from 9 to 4. But since it is Veterans Day on Monday, we're opening up. And we try to make sure we're open for all the major patriotic holidays, 4th of July, things like that, you know, Memorial Day. We're looking forward to having y'all out and encourage the public to come see us too.
Yeah, and there's one thing about history books, but it's quite another
to see it.
With this generation too that tends to be so visual, to actually see those things that were going on during the wars.
Well, and that's what, you know, we try to balance. We don't want you to just walk in and be bombarded with, pun or no pun intended, bombarded with facts and figures and dates and all that. I mean, you still are going to get that. It's the basic level of what we're talking about with any military engagements or service time, but we want to tie Mississippians to, as much as possible, to different battles and different conflicts so that people can walk away with a better understanding of what men and women from our state have been through throughout time with warfare, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
It's emotional at times to go through the museum. Yeah. There's some stories that really tug at your heart.
And some that I didn't even know until I went through the museum is that we had prisoners, we meaning Mississippi, had prisoners from Germany and Japan at Camp Shelby, right?
Well, yeah, prisoners from Germany, from Japan, we have, well, the Japanese Americans from the West Coast
came
here and formed the 442nd. Like Senator Inouye from Hawaii, he actually trained here at Camp Shelby when they formed the 442nd. And that unit within the U.S. Army actually went on to become one of the highest decorated units of its size in the U.S. Army history and still holds records.
I just don't know that many people ever even knew that we had German prisoners.
Or know how historic Camp Shelby is.
Right. Yeah.
My father-in-law, for example, we learned and talked to Tommy, but my father-in-law went through Camp Shelby before he left for World War II. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many families have family members. John Cox, the play-by-play, told me a story during the baseball tournament in Montgomery about his dad being at Camp Shelby when the President Roosevelt, came to Camp Shelby to inspect the troops.
Yeah.
I mean, so everybody almost is touched by Camp Shelby.
It's amazing to me how much of a role that Camp Shelby has played throughout our nation's history, our state's history, still continues to.
No question.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Of course, I don't hear about a lot of things till after they've happened, but it's remarkable for me to learn some of the things and training and important things that Camp Shelby's doing and the Mississippi National Guard is doing, not just here on the state level, but all over the world right now.
And Tommy's the man responsible for those super cool Camp Shelby baseball jerseys that our beloved Golden Eagles wore last year.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that this year, too, I hope.
Is that going to be an annual thing?
We're trying to work on that and make that a new tradition.
Go ahead,
are you talking about baseball?
Yeah, baseball.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know.
I do slip back to baseball.
How many days, Bob, do we know?
Back on occasion, Tommy, I slip back into baseball.
I'm ready for it.
All right, let's, Tommy, we're looking forward to being with you Monday, man. We appreciate you coming out. We want you to be our celebrity guest picker.
Okay.
Are you ready for this? Dima heads this up. Give him the first shot at everything.
All right, you're going to – we have the headset that Lou Corso wears over there. So, all right, we're going to give into our picks. Here's the updated standings. number one is Kelly. He is still in the lead.
Yeah. Play that one again, Charlie Brown's teacher.
84 points. Mr. Bob is 83 points. I'm down there at 78. So that's where we're standing going into this week. Texas State on the road at ULM. Big game for the West. 8.5-point home underdogs is the Warhawks. The over-under is 50 points.
Ooh,
don't start
with me. All right, I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready.
So Tommy knows we're going to pick the team and a score. But go ahead, Kelly.
Yeah, I've got the Bobcats winning that game 28-24, but the Warhawks cover.
I got the Bobcats 35-28.
Gosh, I don't know. Bobcats for sure. I'm not going to guess score. I don't
know. I'm going to take Texas State 24-17. All right, so we'll go Georgia State on the road at JMU. JMU's a 15.5-point favorite. The over-under is 54.
And they do not cover. They win at 34-21, which is only a 13-point spread. I'll take the Panthers and the points.
You're taking the Panthers over James Madison?
No, I'm taking James Madison. But if I'm betting, I'm going to take Georgia State and the points.
I got James Madison 38, Georgia State 17.
James Madison wins.
Yes, I'm going to take James Madison. I'm going to go with Kelly here to take Georgia State with the points. So I got 31-20 for James Madison.
And that's really nice of you too, Dima, to help Tommy by pointing to the team.
No, I'm just telling him what game we're on.
Oh, okay.
Arkansas State at Louisiana, another big game for the West. Both teams, it's still in the running. 14.5-point favorites for Louisiana at home, over under 60.5.
Once again, the Cajuns are going to win that game 30-17, but 13 isn't 14.5. So I'll take the Cajuns to win, but the Red Wolves to cover.
Cajuns 28, Red Wolves 10.
Raging Cajuns win.
I like that. Yeah, I'm again with Kelly. I'm going to say the Cajuns win, but Arkansas State covers. I'm going to say 28-24. I think it's going to be close.
I got to separate
close game.
Myself here.
Yeah.
Santa.
All right, number 3, Georgia at number 16, Ole Miss. The Rebels are 2.5-point home underdogs to the Bulldogs. Over-under is 55.
Bulldogs win. Bulldogs cover. 34-28.
Bulldogs 38, Ole Miss 35.
I'm going to have to pull for Georgia. I'm too much of a Louis Grizzard fan.
I'm going to be the outlier. I think Ole Miss beats Georgia, and I think they get it done. I think they've been preparing for this game, and I think.
Dima, we're trying so hard to keep kids off drugs.
I think Ole Miss is going to win. I'm going to say 35-28 Ole Miss.
Take the button away from him, will you?
Number 11, Alabama on the road at LSU. LSU is a 3-point underdog, home underdog to the Crimson Tide, 58.5.
All right, here's where you guys can catch up with me, because the Tigers down in Baton Rouge on a Saturday night, they're taking the Tigers 21-20 to beat Alabama.
Never bet against Alabama. I've learned that. Alabama pulls it out 28-24.
It's a Saturday night in Baton Rouge.
It's a Death Valley game in Alabama. I'm going to go with LSU.
Yeah, I'm going LSU too. I got LSU 24-17 over the Crimson Tide.
All right, Scoop, right there. You win that one. We're tied.
There you go. So the game of the week, Marshall on the road at home.
Is it really the game of the week, Dima?
Maybe that was fake news.
According to what? Yeah,
CNN. That was according to CNN.
Okay. Oh, we have a drum roll now.
Southern Miss is a 13-point home underdog. The over-under is 53.5.
Well, musicians don't work cheap, Scoop. I'm surprised you. Marshall covers 34-10. I think Bob's going to take Marshall.
Yes, I've got to. I don't want to, but I've got to. 31-14.
It kills me, but I got to take Marshall.
Yes. Depressing, isn't it, Tommy? It's just damn depressing.
Yeah, I'm going to take Marshall, too. They're going to run for I don't know how much yardage, but I think Southern Miss keeps it close to start, but Marshall pulls away, so I got 38-17.
To start, what, the first 2 minutes? The first three?
Hey, they were be nice.
Yeah, this were a Southern Miss show, Kelly.
No, of course. I know that.
Yeah.
And I hope everybody knows.
They were within one score of JMU in the third quarter.
No, and I do hope that everybody knows. It's very tongue-in-cheek. Look, we know it's been a season that none of us had hoped would go this way, and a little bit of levity helps get you through it, you know, but there's nobody that bleeds black and gold like we do. So you're saying that Marshall's coming through like a train? Is that what you're saying now, Bob?
It's a train.
I think people have already turned off the show.
Oh, Tom, I'm glad nobody heard you say that. You know.
We love the Golden Eagles. Hell, everybody knows that.
Yeah, we won't go into specifics, but Tommy mentioned something about one of the programs being a train wreck. So.
That'd be Tommy Lofton. His phone number here is 601. Tommy, stick around, all right? We got a few more minutes of absolute wasting time. You're free to join us. We'll be back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by DBAT and DBAT Training, just off of Interstate 59 in Hattiesburg. Your one-stop shop for not only Christmas gifts for your softball or baseball player, youngster in the family, but also your place to get into shape in the off season, whether it's a speed and agility or a hitting or pitching. They'll take care of your youngsters at DBAT. Also, a shout out to Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today. They're beautiful. I know, because I've seen them. Bob Getty gets to drive them. All I get to do is look at them, visit their all new Genesis.
I let you ride in my car yesterday, grudgingly, but I did.
Yeah, but I mean, why did you tape up construction paper on the windows and stuff?
Because I don't want anybody to see you in my car.
Well, that's right.
But did you make him wash it afterward?
The new...
good point, Tommy. I should have.
Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg is where the new showroom is.
I'd let Will East ride in my Genesis.
You'd let everybody but me ride the Genesis.
I'd let Will ride. Will's a good man. Will East is the program director of Super Talk Mississippi. Knows more about high school football than anybody I know. Will, I was actually up here with Michael Burgess for a bit last night in our studio when we were carrying Petal in Oak Grove. Quite a football game between two big rival schools.
Two big rival schools, and there was playoff implications, obviously, because it was the last week of the regular season for 7A, 6A, and 5A, and yeah, that was one of the better games, better matchups last night, really, and a couple more in the Pine Belt, really, but that one in particular, because it determined who got a home game in the first round of the playoffs versus who had to go on the road. And what a job by Coach Boyles there. You know, last year they were, I believe, 4-6, right, had one of the worst defenses in the state. I mean, it was common for them to give up 40, 50, sometimes even, I think they even gave up 60 points in a game last year. But this season completely turned it around, and they're in a position where they're playing for a home playoff spot. And that is such a big, big, important thing to have in that first round, especially with a young team, high school team. If you've never played in the playoffs before, having it at home environment really does help you. They lost last night. Oak Grove got the win. What was it, 24-21, the final. So Oak Grove will host. They will have Northwest. I'm sorry. Oak Grove will have Biloxi next week, while Petal will have to travel to Gulfport. Gulfport's a good team, 6-3, but they're vulnerable. And as we all know, the coast teams, the large coast teams, the 7A schools, 6A before that, they've struggled in the playoffs for the past decade, really. Yeah. Ocean Springs has been the only one that's been kind of consistent. Gulfport would probably be number two in there over the past decade, but they've struggled in the playoffs the past couple of years, so we'll see if things change. But good job by Coach Boyles and Petal in this 2024 season to get things turned around. So looking at the playoffs, so just to – I know we don't have a whole lot of time here, but we have games tonight, obviously. It's the first round of the playoffs for 4A, 3A, 2A, and 1A. And here's a little secret. Most of these are kind of snoozers. In fact, I'll take you up to North Mississippi, where the Vardaman Rams are undefeated. Tonight, they play Thrasher in the first round of the playoffs. Thrasher's 0-9.
Oh, now, 9.
You may be asking yourself, how does a winless team make the playoffs? Well, this is a 1A school in Region 1 of 1A, where they only have four teams, so all four teams automatically make the playoffs. So, yes, an 0-9 team can make the playoffs in Mississippi, you know, if they're in the right region, and that's what's happened. So a lot of these games are a lot of mismatches in this first round that you'll see tonight in 4A, 3A, 2A, and 1A. Next week is one of the better weeks, and the week after that, the best week by far. But next week we're going to see games like Tupelo hosting Lewisburg. Lewisburg, a team that only has one win, but they won the right game, so they got in the playoffs.
That's just
crazy.
But
you're going to have some better – do what?
That's crazy, Will.
Well, and I've argued for
one,
long.
1-0 win teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I've argued for long. These are just money games for the my editorial opinion, they're money games for the MHSAA. You know, that's
we'll finish up. Well, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Well, where you really have your good games is in 6A South next week. We got Hancock at Hattiesburg, Terry at Pasco. 6A South is stacked. Hattiesburg obviously beating West Jones last night, undefeated Hattiesburg, the biggest surprise of the year. Pascagoula has one of the best offenses. They've got a trifecta there. They are tough to stop. They put up 49 points on George County last night. And George County's a really good team. They got Deuce Knight, who's now committed to Auburn. He was formerly committed to Notre Dame. Incredible quarterback. And then, of course, West Jones, and then you got Picayune, the two kind of powerhouse programs there. So next week should be really, really fun for 6A South.
Hattiesburg Tigers, though, undefeated, man.
Yeah, that's real quick, Will. Is that not the story of the year, the Hattiesburg Tigers?
I think it's the biggest surprise of the year. I definitely think that they are the – I would have not guessed that. And they've played tough – it's one thing if you go undefeated and you play a couple snooze fests. They've played incredibly tough competition. They beat Petal, you know, at the beginning of the year.
Right.
They beat West Jones last night in convincing fashion. I think that is they're the team of the year. They're one of the few we don't have a lot of undefeated teams right now left, but they're one of them, and they're by far the biggest surprise.
All right, well, we appreciate you, man. We'll get you on in your regular segment next week.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right, Will East, everybody. Tommy Lofton still in the studio. Tommy, looking forward to being out there with you guys Monday. I can think of nowhere this show would rather be on Veterans Day than in Camp Shelby and the Military Museum.
Hey, we're looking forward to having y'all.
All right, Tommy. And next time, you're going to have to pick the scores, okay?
I'll do better next time.
Did you want to do that Marshall-Southern Miss score real quick, Tommy?
Marshall wins.
Southern Miss.
A lot.
To the top.
To the top.
To the sea.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.